In the bustling streets of a small Indian village, a tribal coolie son named Hanumantappa receives financial aid for his education. Months later, he returns RS-300 to his sponsor because the college had been closed for 2 months, money he desperately needed but wouldn't keep because he hadn't used it. Meanwhile, in a comfortable urban home, an accomplished professional boasts of winning a gold medal that wasn't his. These contrasting encounters form the tapestry of Sudamurti's observations across India, revealing a profound truth. Integrity isn't taught in universities or acquired through wealth. It emerges from the heart. Through these simple yet revealing stories, we glimpse the complex mosaic of human nature, where sometimes the poorest demonstrate the richest character, and where wisdom often comes from the most unexpected sources. In the monsoon-drenched Sahyadri Hills, a tribal headman offers special red fruit juice. When declined, he states firmly, "When you want to give us something, we accept, but only when we can give something to you too." This elder understood what many philanthropists miss. True charity preserves the recipient's dignity. Similarly, Sheikh Mohammed sold family jewelry for his sister's treatment rather than seek charity. After her death, the family returned unused money, insisting it help someone needier. In our world of tax-deductible donations and professional philanthropy, we've forgotten that meaningful giving honors the recipient's self-respect. The tribal elder recognized that accepting gifts without reciprocating creates a power imbalance. The most profound exchanges happen when both parties maintain their dignity, a lesson from those with little material wealth but rich principles. What if we approached charitable efforts as conversations rather than transactions? Perhaps the most valuable gift is acknowledging another's inherent worth. A woman dismisses her mother-in-law's death with good riddance. A son abandons his elderly father at a bus stop, denying relation despite being nominee for his father's savings. These incidents reveal fraying family bonds in contemporary society. Celebrations have lost their essence. Diwali's anticipation of homemade treats has vanished in an era of restaurant convenience. Families rarely reunite, with many not understanding festival significance or escaping them through vacations. Marriage expectations have transformed. Wedding invitations once sought brides who could manage households and adapt to joint families. Today's matrimonial ads seek smart, slim, fair software engineers preferring nuclear families with caste no bar and horoscope not needed. These shifts reflect changing values. In pursuing convenience and individual fulfillment, we've sacrificed the interdependence that gave meaning to family life. The challenge isn't blindly preserving traditions, but retaining core values of care, respect, and intergenerational support that sustain us through life's challenges. A young nurse counts surgical mops and discovers one missing. Despite the senior surgeon's threats, she refuses to continue until the blood-soaked mop is found on the floor. When asked how she stood firm, she simply replies she was following her teacher's instructions. Tara, a brothel keeper, reveals her anger at being called elder sister. Orphaned young, she supported her brother through child labor, only for him to sell her to a brothel when she was 12, on a festival celebrating the sacred brother-sister bond. Even 12-year-old Javed, earning just 5-10 rupees daily collecting crabs, shows wisdom. Is 5 rupees not a big sum compared to nothing? Every drop makes an ocean. These stories challenge conventional heroism. True heroes aren't those with wealth or status, but individuals maintaining integrity during difficult choices. The nurse who stood against authority, the brothel keeper who survived betrayal, and the child who finds abundance in scarcity show that character is determined by our responses to circumstances, not the circumstances themselves. These quiet heroes remind us that courage reveals itself not in triumph, but in times of testing. Raghavendra Varnekar taught mathematics with extraordinary passion, making it accessible to all. When offered a gift during his final days, he refused, explaining that a teacher's duty is to build students' confidence for life's unknown challenges, like a candle giving light while consuming itself. This vision contrasts sharply with modern realities, a headmaster dismissing Independence Day as a ritual and waste of time, and a headmistress converting a classroom into her residence while students remain overcrowded. Consider Charu's story. Despite her education and bank job, her husband and mother-in-law force her to surrender her salary. Why do educated, financially independent women still suffer? Education should teach life skills beyond academics, particularly self-confidence for women. True education isn't measured by degrees, but by character, confidence, and critical thinking. A genuinely educated person possesses not just knowledge, but wisdom, the ability to apply that knowledge meaningfully in life. As Kieran Betty noted, education means more than scoring good marks. It develops the confidence to face challenges with integrity and purpose. Mina's chronic pessimism vanished after witnessing a beggar and his granddaughter playing joyfully in the rain. Despite their poverty, they possessed what Mina lacked, the ability to find happiness in life as it was. Cook Girija remains cheerful despite being abandoned by her husband, focusing on her blessings, having only one child and kind employers. Meanwhile, Vasant, a multinational executive, constantly complains about his son and investments. Uneducated Girija finds positivity amid hardship, while educated Vasant makes himself miserable dwelling on what he lacks. At a housewarming, a wealthy woman dismissively avoided earthquake donations because she had no relatives in that area. This contrasts with Mariappa, a merchant who quietly helped poor students and left his fortune for a hostel, believing Donna given by the right hand should not be known even to the left hand. These stories show wealth itself is neutral. Our relationship with it determines its impact. Those who see money as a tool for service find fulfillment, while those measuring worth by possessions remain dissatisfied. True contentment comes from how we perceive what we have, not what we possess. Witnessing a 16-year-old become a Devadasi, Sudhamurti breaks down. Her father consoles her, saying tears won't solve age-old problems, but helping even 10 women could make a difference. He advises her to recognize both strengths and limitations while lighting as many candles as possible rather than remaining in darkness. This metaphor embodies finding meaning through service. We may not solve all problems, but we bring light within our sphere of influence. The Swamiji who established a home for destitute women, the Sutter math head who donated valuable land without recognition, and Suresh who quietly funded scholarships all found fulfillment through giving. Even those with limited means discover purpose in service. TJS George reflects on the Indian tradition of seeing human quality as sattva, rajas, or tamas, noting how few choose sattvic work, like Jamshedji Tata, who built industrial and educational institutions. True fulfillment comes not from accumulating wealth or status, but from making a positive difference in others' lives. What candle will you light today?